मम जन्मनि जन्मनि ईश्वरे भवता त्वत्ति अहिंसित गई ओम लॉर्ड एंड सोल ऑफ द यूनिवर्स माइन इज नो प्रेयर फॉर वेल्थ फॉर रेटिंग द प्लेटिंग सपना और द टॉयज ऑफ की as many times as I may be reborn grant me O Lord take state as not for thee O Shanti 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 Peace, peace, peace. Bhakti aphorisms of Narada. Last time we discussed the sign of delusion. When delusion, real delusion, real delusion belongs in the heart of delusion. We do this talk of here, close to the light. We are here, dancing here, in the space. It's a thing to be unified, not only the other hand, it's a place to go. The highest class of the devotees are going to have one point of love for God, for love to increase. Devotion.
कुर्वन्ति तीर्थानि सुकर्मी कुर्वन्ति कर्माणि सच्छास्त्री कुर्वन्ति शास्त्राणि एफर्जिम नंबर 69 सच डेबुटीज एनहांस द सैंक्टिटी ऑफ सीक्रेट प्लेसेस एड ग्लोरी टू एक्शंस and lend authority to the scriptures. Pilgrims make the pilgrimage, not the deity. A wooden image or a stone image or marble temple or beautiful church or synagogue are not holy by themselves. They are sanctified, they become living by the holy people. We have seen many temples in India, many rich temples. There is plenty of wealth. The image of the god is made of gold and diamond. But there is no atmosphere. Those temples came built by the rich people. They wanted to show their wealth. On the other hand, we have seen some holy places. The birthplace of Krishna, the birthplace of Rama, the birthplace of Sri Ramakrishna, Chaitanya, the birthplace of Christ, Muhammad. If you go those places, you will feel the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere. Tirthi kurbanti tirthani. Tirthi, which comes from the root Sanskrit word tri, means to cross. If you want to cross the river, you will have to do some effort. So these holy places are like harbors where you can sail your boat. The place, the holy place, becomes holy by the devotees. The devotees, through their prayers and meditation, through their spiritual disciplines, purify that place. We have seen some holy places. Where we felt tremendous spiritual atmosphere. In the Jagannath temple of Puri, where Chaitanya stayed, it is a Krishna temple. If you go inside, you will feel something. Swami Brahmananda went to see Meenakshi temple in southern India. Seeing the mother, he had samadhi. And Swami Ramakrishnananda held his body so that he may not fall down. In the meantime, many people surrounded them. After an hour, he came back to normal consciousness. He had the vision of the mother. These holy people make the place holy. Tirthi kurbanti tirthani. Shukurmi kurbanti karmani. The real workers, means unselfish workers, means the real holy people, those who know the mystery of karma yoga, perform action and demonstrate how to practice karma yoga. Whatever they perform, the other people follow them. The scriptures are true because those are experienced by these holy people, the devotees. You see, place as a place is not holy. Action as an action is not holy, is not good. And scripture as a scripture is not true. There are many types of scriptures. Christ said, those who live by sword, with sword, they die by sword. Look, in Quran, if you use sword, you will be immortal. They ask, you see, war is in their scripture. You must fight against the infidel. Jihad, if you die in war, you will go to heaven. Just see, that scripture is supporting war. And the other scripture is forbidding the war. So scriptures are different, they are confusing. But these scriptures become valid when they are experienced by the illumined souls. Swami Sharadananda visited St. Peter's Church in Rome, and seeing the, you know, he had a vision and he had samadhi in that church. Swami Vivekananda had the vision of Shiva in Amarnath temple. He had the vision of the Divine Mother in Kshir Bhavani temple in Kashmir. These visions of the holy people prove that those places are full of spirituality. Tirtha. In common parlance, holy water and sacred places are considered Tirtha. By resorting to them, one becomes purified and free from sins, and is thus enabled to surmount mundane existence and its imperfections. It is not the waters or idols of the place that really form the holy place, but the saints who purify by mere sight by virtue of God residing in their hearts. Holy places are either the birthplace of some saints or the place of their spiritual endeavor or attainment of perfection or ministration. Sometimes many holy men visit the holy places. That is why they are considered holy. Thus it is the saint that constitutes the real holy place. Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani. It is a beautiful saying that pilgrims make the pilgrimage, neither the deity nor the temple. There is a story in the Hindu mythology. Mother Ganges descended from heaven to purify the people in this world. She said to Bhagirath, who brought Ganges from heaven, that you are taking me to the earth. People, the sinners, will relinquish their sins in me. I shall not be able to carry so much sin. How shall I get rid of that type of evil actions, sins? Bhagirath replied, it is true, the sinners will relinquish their sins in you. It is also equally true that holy people will take bath in you, and they will relinquish their purity in you. They will make you pure. So you will not get any problem. Please come and save my ancestors. That is the story in the Purana. You see, sometimes people come and say that, Swami, we meditate in our house. Though I have no shrine, I meditate in my living room. You see, living room has a different atmosphere. You should have a corner of your bedroom that is better if you cannot afford to make a separate room your shrine, which is should be your very personal. But that corner will remind you that is your place for meditation. It has a beautiful atmosphere. The next aphorism, Tanmaya. The minds of the devotees are filled with the thought of God. The devotees carry God in their hearts. They purify the place. They purify the people. They purify the atmosphere. As rivers entering the ocean become majestic and vast like ocean, so the devotees, offering their bodies, minds to God, attain purifying power from God. Tanmaya. Tanmaya means be absorbed in God consciousness. Don't float on the surface of the ocean. You will never get the gems, jewels or pearls which are at the bottom of the ocean. Dive deep. Then you will get pearls. Tanmaya, it is a beautiful word. Intoxication. Captivating experience is called Tanmaya. There was a scientist and a doctor in Calcutta who used to treat Sri Ramakrishna. Perhaps you have read in the gospel, one day M went to bring him to Sri Ramakrishna, that you know, just that, so that you know, it is a house call, so that the doctor may come and pay a visit to Sri Ramakrishna. The doctor went with a carriage. The doctor said, I do not know, let me be frank with you. From 3 o'clock I have no sleep. I am thinking of Sri Ramakrishna. Paramahansa is going on in my head. And look, now my condition is such, I cannot attend all my calls. When I go to see him, I spend 3, 4, 5 hours to see one patient. And later on, of course, he would not charge also. He would not accept any money from Sri Ramakrishna. Now all the time I think of him. This is called Tanmaya. Whom you love, you think of him. So a devotee gets this state, attains this state, Tanmaya. In dream, in sleep, in waking state, all the time. In sleep also he may not think of God, but in waking state and dream state, he thinks of God. He dreams of God. Perhaps in the Bible you have read several places, just before Christ passed away, before his crucifixion. I think in one place, 3 times he asked Peter, do you love me? Love me. This is called Tanmaya. If you be absorbed in me, all my powers will go to you. The devotees attain this power, spiritual power, purifying power, through meditation. Swami Vivekananda had a Western disciple named Mrs. Xavier. She and her husband went to Mayavati in the Himalayas and stayed there. Mr. Xavier passed away. Then Mrs. Xavier stayed there alone. Of course, alone means other monks are living. But she used to live by herself in a separate house. Another 12 or 14 years she lived there. So a Western devotee went and asked her, that don't you feel lonely in this remote part of the Himalayas? Oh no. How? Why? I think of him. And she was very devoted to Swami Vivekananda. I think of him. I never feel lonely. This is called Tanmaya. Her mind was absorbed in God. Next aphorism. Modante pitaro nrittanti devataha sanatha chiyam bhut bhavati. When such lover of God dwells on earth, his forefathers rejoice. The gods dance in joy. This earth gets a savior. Modante pitaro. His living parents, his departed ancestors rejoice that a real, sincere devotee, lover of God, has been born in my family. Because when this soul attains perfection, liberation, his 14 generations will be saved. Whereas you read in the Bible, somebody said to Mary, is this your son? Yes, blessed is thy womb. It is not so easy to bear a child who loves God. Blessed is that mother. Gods are also become happy. They dance in joy. Do you know why? the gods think here is a soul who will love me, who will worship me, who will help my devotees, my children in the earth. He becomes a savior. Look, one Christ saved millions, inspired millions. Still he is inspiring. He was a sincere lover of God. He was a son of God. When Buddha was born, I think 7 days he thought what he would do. The Mara came and said, "Oh no, enjoy your nirvana, your liberation by yourself. Don't share with others. Enjoy. Please don't give it to others." Satan tried to pollute Buddha's mind, wanted that Buddha should be selfish, should enjoy by himself. Just see. Then he was inspired. Now I must distribute what I have received. I shall give share of this precious Nirvana with the suffering people of the world. Modante pitaro nittandi devata sanatachi ambhur bhavati. Nittandi devata, the gods dance. Sometimes we find in our scriptures, in the mythology, that gods create obstruction to his devotees. They will bring various kinds of temptation so that you may not be able to cross the domain of Maya. But it is a misunderstanding, you know. Those who want to go to heaven, they will be tempted by gods. And they will test you whether you are fit for heaven or not. But if you want to attain perfection, divinity, they will not tempt you. You see, some yogis want siddhi, powers. They are tempted by gods. But if you sincerely want illumination, they will not put any obstruction. But you will have to pass through various tests, no doubt. But you will get inspiration, power, help from gods also. According to Hindu mythology, that Bhu, this Mother Earth, is one of the wives of the great God. When religion declines, this Mother Earth becomes restless. She notices that people are not happy in this earth. So she complains to God, the Supreme God, "Please send somebody who can bring religion, who can bring balance in spiritual realm." And out of her prayer, a savior is born. Next aphorism. Nasti teshu jati vidya rupa kula dhana kriyadi vedaha. Among them there is no distinction based on caste or culture, beauty or birth, wealth or profession and the like. The devotees have no caste. They belong to God. They are beyond caste, beyond learning, beyond beauty, beyond everything. A devotee may be born into a low caste family. Even the Brahmins may come and salute them. As we find, you know, Rama is not a Brahmin, he is a Kshatriya. Krishna is not a Brahmin, he is a Kshatriya, warrior caste. But they are worshipped as incarnation of gods. Sri Ramakrishna said, the devotees are belong to God. They are beyond caste system. These verses are the answers given to a Brahmin who questioned the caste of the Buddhist monks. Buddha replied, you inquire of the caste of monks and do not want to know of their qualities. Sir, you are deluded and therefore you injure yourself as well as others. This signifies insolence born of caste pride. Caste may be a subject of inspection and investigation for marriage or invitation, but not in religious matters. Spiritual endeavor demands no condition except mental qualities, and these do not depend on birth. If the vices of a person born of high caste merit censure, how is it that the excellence of a man of low caste does not merit honor? Man is honored or despised because of his mind. So these monks of excellent character deserve respect because they have good qualities. This spirit of Mahayana Buddhism was derived from pre-Buddhistic Vaishnavism and strengthened by the Vedic philosophy. The discipline of surrender to the God, to the Lord, or Bhakti Yoga does not demand any special qualifications of caste, birth, clan, sex, qualities, work, time, place, and stage of life. The devotees of the Lord should not be examined in respect of their age and the like. Before one pays one's respect to them, with an attitude of service, they should be revered even if they belong to low caste. Next aphorism, yataha tadiyaha, because they are his own. The devotees are very own to God. This sutra gives the reason why there is no such distinction. Devotees are equal in the sight of God because their devotion is the same in spite of apparent physical or social differences. They all belong to one group. To every devotee, all the creatures in the universe are the children of God or God himself, and as such, he sees them with an eye of equality. Then this is the last chapter. In this chapter, Narada will conclude his devotional thesis or devotional aphorisms, you may say. Bado navalambyaha, when you attain devotion, do not argue with people. Those who have attained supreme devotion, they do not like to argue. Don't talk too much. Don't be natibadi. A real devotee enjoys the bliss of God. He does not like to talk. He does not have any desire to argue with people. I shall tell you an incident from the life of Rupa, a disciple of Chaitanya. Rupa Goswami formulated the philosophy of Chaitanya. He was a great scholar, used to live in Vrindavan. One day, a great scholar came to Rupa for a debate. Rupa humbly asked him to sit in his cottage and told him, "You have come to debate with me, but I surrender myself to you. I accept my defeat. Please forgive me. You can say to the people that I have defeated Rupa. I shall agree with that. Please don't, I don't want to debate with you. I accept my defeat." So this man was very proud because Rupa accepted defeat from him. While he was coming out from the hermitage of Rupa, his nephew, Rupa's nephew, Jiva Goswami, was working near the gate. And he found this proud scholar was jubilant and was leaving the ashrama. He asked that, "Hi, how are you?" "Oh, I am fine, Rupa Goswami, the great scholar, is defeated." "Who is that so? He is defeated by you." "Yes, he accepted the defeat." Jiva Goswami said, "Well, I am his servant. If you give me a chance, I can argue with you. I want a debate with you. I challenge you." So this Jiva Goswami defeated that scholar. And that scholar went back to Rupa and said, "What type of person you kept, here?" He did not know that he was his nephew. "He is so rude to me. He argued with me and defeated me." Rupa smiled. He asked the Pandit, "All right, you can go." Then he called his nephew and said, "Being a Vaishnava, a disciple of Chaitanya, you have so much pride. You don't have humility. You showed your ego to that scholar. I don't like that you should just stay here anymore. You can go away." So this nephew was very fond of that uncle. So he had to leave, he left, and he was very much depressed, and he thought that he would not eat anymore. Through austerity, he will give up his body. In the meantime, his another uncle, Rupa's elder brother, Sanatana, came to know the whole story, and he came to help his nephew. Sanatana went to Rupa's hermitage and said, "Brother, what is the sign of a devotee of the Lord?" "Humility, the first sign. But being a Vaishnava, you did not show humility. You are rude to our nephew. And that poor boy is suffering terribly." So immediately he understood, Rupa apologized to his elder brother and brought back his nephew. Once it so happened, Swami Vivekananda returned from America to India in 1897. A scholar also came to Vivekananda for debate. Swamiji asked him, "Do you have any notebook?" So he opened his notebook. And Swamiji was going for bath in the Ganges. And he took the pencil and wrote, "I am defeated." And he gave that notebook to the scholar and said, now you can go. So that, you know, he was very proud.
Achinta khuluje bhavanatan tarkena jojayet. The thing which is beyond argument cannot be established through reason. People, scholars, talk about God. They discuss about scriptures. These theological discussions are just for amusement, for the recreation of the brain. But that will not bring liberation. That will not give you devotion. Shabdajalam maharanyam chitta brahmana karanam. Shankara says in his great jewel of discrimination, this network of the words, means the scriptures, is just like a whirlpool. It's just like a labyrinth that you will be lost. It is hard to get out from the network of the words, means the scriptures. We read in the Imitation of Christ, let all teachers hold their peace. Let all creatures be silent in thy sight. Speak thou alone unto me. A devotee should not argue with the people. You see, there are some people, they love to talk. They want to show their superiority. Don't argue. In the beginning, first try to know what is your goal, then hold it. I shall read some few passages from the Wisdom of the Desert. They are very inspiring and very helpful in spiritual life. An elder said, cut off from yourself rash confidence and control your tongue and your belly and abstain from wine. And if anyone speak to you about any matter, do not argue with him. But if he speaks rightly, say, yes. If he speaks wrongly, say to him, you know what you are saying, but do not argue with him about the things he has said. Thus, your mind will be at peace. About Arsenas, when he was still in the king's palace, prayed to the Lord, saying, Lord, lead me to salvation. And a voice came to him, saying, Arsenius, fly from men, and you shall be saved. Again embracing the monastic life, he prayed in the same words. And he heard a voice saying to him, Arsenius, fly, be silent, rest in prayer. These are the roots of non-sinning. A certain brother went to Abbot Moses in Skipi and asked him for a good word. And the elder said to him, go, sit in your cell, and your cell will teach you everything. It was said of Abbot Agatho that for 3 years he carried a stone in his mouth until he learned to be silent. Very interesting. You see, these people worked very hard. It is not so easy to carry a piece of a stone in the mouth. One of the elders used to say, in the beginning, when we got together, we used to talk about something that was good for our souls. And we went up and ascended even to heaven. But now we get together and spend our time in criticizing everything, and we drag one another down into the abyss. Abbot Pastor said, get away from any man who always argues. every time he talks. A certain elder said, apply yourself to silence, have no vain thoughts, and be intent in your meditation, whether you sit at prayer or whether you rise up to work in the fear of God. If you do these things, you will not have to fear the attack of evil ones. Once a certain provincial judge came to see Abbot Simon, and the elder took the belt he had on and went up to the top of a date palm, as though he were a workman picking dates. But they, approaching, asked him, where is the hermit who lives in this part of the desert? To which he replied, there is no hermit around here. At this they all departed. On another occasion, a different judge came to see him, and his companions, running on ahead of the judge, said, Father, get ready. A judge who has heard about you is on his way out here to ask your blessing. The elder said, you can be sure I will get ready. And covering himself with all his garments, he took some bread and cheese in his hands and sat down in the entry to his cell and began to eat. The judge and his retainers arrived and saw him eating and hailed him with contempt. Is this the hermit monk we heard so much about? They asked. They swung around immediately and headed back where they had come from. Abbot Joseph asked Abbot Pastor, tell me how I can become a monk. The elder replied, if you want to have rest here in this life and also in the next, in every conflict with another, say, who am I, and judge no one. In the beginning of his conversation, Abbot Evagrius came to a certain elder and said, Father, tell me some word by which I may be saved. The elder said, if you want to be saved, whenever you go to see anybody, do not speak until he asks you something. Evagrius was deeply moved by this saying and did penance in the sight of the elder and made satisfaction to him, saying, believe me, I have read many books and have never found anywhere such learning. And he went away and progressed greatly. Two brethren went to an elder who lived alone in Skiti. And the first one said, Father, I have learned all of the Old and New Testaments by heart. The elder said to him, you have filled the air with words. The other one said, I have copied out the Old and the New Testaments and have them in my cell. And to this one the elder replied, you have filled your window with parchment. But do you not know him who said, the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power? And again, not those who hear the law will be justified before God, but those who carry it out. They asked him, therefore, what was the way of salvation? And he said to them, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord and humility with patience. One of the elders said, a monk ought not to inquire how this one acts or how that one lives. Questions like this take us away from prayer and draw us on the backbiting and chatter. There is nothing better than to keep silent. Theophilus of holy memory, Bishop of Alexandria, journeyed to Scythia, and the brethren coming together said to Abbot Pambo, "Say a word or two to the bishop, that his soul may be edified in this place." The elder replied, "If he is not edified by my silence, there is no hope that he will be edified by my words." All right, if you wish, you can ask me questions. I think within two more classes, this book will be ended, will be finished. Then, after summer vacation, we shall start the Gita.
The end of the sword and the infidel.
You know, to me, this scripture consists of various kinds of teachings. All teachings are not for everybody. The scripture is mixed with sand and sugar. What is sand? The external aspects of religion. They are not essential. You see, all teachings of the Bible or all teachings of the Quran, all teachings of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna or the Gita are not for everybody. But on the other hand, the scriptures will have to supply food to each and all. Take those sections from the scripture which suit you. Other parts, you simply ignore it. You will not have to go through it. So where perhaps Quran said that, you know, infidels should be, you know, their holy war, jihad and this and that, you will have to understand the condition of their religion at that during the time of Muhammad. You know, he was fighting against the idolatry and how he fought and this and that. So he brought those things in his religion. And on the other side, we see also the mystics are also there, the Sufis. They say that Muhammad had two types of teachings. One type was recorded in the Quran, and the other type was recorded in his heart. The Sufis heard the teachings which are recorded in the heart of Muhammad. Just see. All teachings of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna are not for me, though I am a monk of the Ramakrishna order. All those teachings are not for you. You may be a devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. Perhaps one or two few teachings may suit you. Please take all those things. And other ones, don't ignore it. Don't see them. Read it. It is an evolution. We evolve. Really, we evolve. Then we understand more and more.
There are so many things in the scripture. Sometimes it is confusing. If you don't have a good teacher, you will be confused. Even in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, if you read some sections, they are so confusing. Some ritual, also it is in the Upanishad. If you take everything as it is, you will be confused. Some sections are meant for some kind of ritualistic discipline, rituals. Some sections are like stories, you know, just to clarify the truth. They told a story. For example, Swami, let me give you an example. In the Chandogya Upanishad, we find Shottakama, Jabala. After, you know, when he attained illumination, the bull talked to Jabala, the swan talked to him, the bird talked to him, the fire talked to him. Now, I am a rational being. Is it possible for me to understand that a man talked to a cow, this cow's voice, what type of language they used? Do you know how we understand? It is really a question. You may say, Swami, what language they used? Even in Ramayana, when we read Ramayana, Rama is talking with the monkeys. What was their language? What was their medium? Just see how doubt comes about the scripture. It is true. Doubt comes. How? It may be a bull, it is impossible. A bull cannot talk with a man. A monkey cannot talk with a man. It is impossible. It is not. It is impossible to you and me, but the yogis, those who have attained the knowledge of oneness, they can get lessons from anything in this world. You can understand the condition of your pet whom you love. You see, when this, do you know what happens? When a person becomes illumined, he experiences the knowledge of oneness. This bull's spirit, that Atman which is in the bull, it is not in evolved state. The bull's body covered the self. The Atman is there in the bull. So he gets knowledge from that self. That self talks to the self. An individual self talks to the self. At that time they transcend the body. That bull is talking. You can understand, you know, we heard so many oracles, you know, angels are coming from heaven and talking to the saints. We hear so many things. God talks to the devotees. Sri Ramakrishna is going to the temple and said, Mother said this. When Totapuri came and asked that, I want to initiate you into monastic vows, into sannyasa? Oh, you want to initiate me? Let me go to the mother. Let me get her permission. And that monk was thinking that Sri Ramakrishna was going to his own mother, you know, living mother. He went to the temple and asked the Divine Mother. Divine Mother said, yes, go and take initiation from him. Sri Ramakrishna came and told him, yes, please initiate me. So to you and me, Sri Ramakrishna talked to that piece of a stone, 33.5 inches stone image. It is impossible. If Sri Ramakrishna could talk to that stone image, and cannot Shottakam Jabala can talk with a bull? It's when the sixth sense grows, the intuitive knowledge dawns in the heart of a devotee. He hears all the supernatural sound, clairvoyance, clairaudience power grows. grow. Some people, you know, try to understand Bible literally. Don't try to understand literally. The mystics understand the mystical language. We try to understand the scripture, the experience, through the word meaning of the dictionary.
Om asato ma satkamaya, tamaso ma jyotirkamaya, mrittor ma amritam gamaya, abir abir ma yedhi, rudra jatte dakshinam mukham, tinamam pahi nityam, om shanti shanti shanti. Lead us from the unreal to the real. Lead us from darkness to light. Lead us from death to immortality. Light us through and through, and guide us evermore with thy loving presence. Peace, peace, peace.